Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time. And tonight we're going to be talking about dealing with fear during the health crisis of the coronavirus. So please feel free to participate or just to listen. And for the people that do join us tonight in the discussion, I'd ask that you just keep your shares to about 5 minutes. We do have one guest that is going to share a message from a Sufi leader, and so I'm looking forward to that. Her name is Regina, and it looks like Al has joined us in the studio too. And Kat is with me, and Kat, let me just ask you how you are tonight.
I'm really great, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You know, in spite of things, I've been able to keep my anxiety levels to a minimum and only had a little bit of an off day yesterday. And it wasn't anxiety. It was just a little depression from not feeling connected in the way that I would like to. But, you know, the one good thing about this crisis, one of the many good things about it, is that it has offered an opportunity for more connection, and thank God for modern conveniences like the telephone and Facebook and Skype. I have stayed very connected to people, and, you know, I think it's a great opportunity for us all to come together and help each other carry the burden. When one of us gets anxious, I know when I have felt some anxiety, it's been very helpful for me to discharge it. And the best way for me to do that is to talk about it to somebody else who's understanding and can be a little more objective than I might be at those points in time, which have been few and far between, thank God. And Kat, you and I were also talking about some other hidden blessings, and we can get into that in a while. But it's my hope that tonight we will be able to find a common thread whereby we can start to dispel some of the unknowns that we have no control over and take charge and feel empowered by whatever we can do, whatever we do know, in spite of all the mystery connected to this virus. And so, you know, I'm really grateful that we have this forum where we can come together and talk about our concerns and let them go. And ultimately, I think that, for me, is the task at hand every day. It's to let go. Because I'm not in control of anything but myself, and even points in time, that's questionable. But I do need to rely on the consciousness of other people, the strength that I draw from other people, from my higher power, from the universe. And it makes me feel very humble to realize that I'm just another soul in this journey, and I'm very grateful for that. I don't have to know everything. I don't have to be everything. All I have to do is be me and take care of myself the best I can. And I think that's something that we all can focus on now. We can take care of ourselves. We can follow guidelines that have been handed down to us, and it's different in different parts of the world. But where I'm at, we have closed all personal care services as of last week in the schools, and now everything but essential services have been suspended. So a lot of people are at home, a lot of people are out of work, This gives us an opportunity to try to help those in need if we're able to do that. And, you know, a lot of people have got a lot of time to just come together in other ways than they've been used to. And, Kat, what's it like over in your neck of the woods?
Well, here in Australia, we have social distancing is pretty much being enforced. They've closed the beaches. They've closed churches. All cultural centres are closed. Pubs, nightclubs are closed. A couple of the states have closed their schools, but those states, the schools were going to hit school holidays at the end of the week anyway, and there was a pupil free day in amongst this final week of school for them anyway. So they've decided to just keep the kids home, and they will be returning to school on the 13th of April, which is about the 2 to 3 week window that everybody's asking everyone to stay at home. So that's happened. The laws were fast-tracked through the Parliament for trucks to be able to deliver goods to shops, to groceries at any time of the day. I think in the past it had been, and I'm only guessing, it had been late night, early morning that the trucks could come, just so that it wasn't inconveniencing, you know, commuters to work and things like that. But now they're having people stock up at any time of the day. So we're getting back to some kind of normal with our grocery stores. But we've seen some disgusting behaviour with people buying into the fear-mongering and then attacking each other over packets of toilet paper. And I read an article that a friend of mine shared on Facebook that over in Perth in Western Australia, a 13-year-old girl was trampled by a stampede of people who had all run into a grocery store to buy toilet paper, and the toilet paper was at the front of the shop, and she was there with her mother, had recently had an operation on her leg and was in a wheelchair, and the little girl got stampeded. I just think that is just dismal. I'm very sad. I felt like crying when I read that. Considering that we've just gone through this bushfire crisis and then we have the floods and all the mateship was there. That's the thing that, you know, if I was a PhD in psychology right now, I'd be having a field day watching the humans and watching all this behavior, because we've seen the mateship, people coming together in a shared crisis here in Australia with the bushfires that went from September to February, March, a long time for the place to be burning. And then came the floods, which we quite frankly needed, but they did devastate homes as well. And all that coming together and then all out the window, it's a pandemic. You know, that's just crazy. Like, what is what? Stop. Love each other. We were loving each other before. We can go back to loving each other again. So I think one of the things that is getting a bit hard is it's constantly on the news. They don't talk about anything else. But then I suppose what they're doing that for is so that if you just decide to flick over to the news after you've been working or you're on Netflix or something, you can catch up with what's doing and then get rid of it and go back to something else. Because if you watch it all the time, it becomes monotonous.
Well, that's the thing.
Pretty much where we're at.
Yeah, I mean, it's a form of public service to have the news, and I'm grateful to be able to keep up to date with things, especially things that concern my welfare and the welfare of those I love. But, you know, a lot of people feed on that and just watch it incessantly. And that only feeds the anxiety and, in my opinion, is not a helpful thing. Now, what you were saying about that little girl, that's beyond deplorable. I feel horrible to hear of that situation. And it seems to me that this health crisis has brought out both the best and the worst in human behavior. And we've all heard the horror stories. We've all heard about the panic that's going on and the greed that's going on. I don't know if we talked about it last weekend, but there was one man that bought $17,000 worth of hand sanitizer and was trying to sell that at a premium. And the police got involved, and he was forced to donate it all to charity. So, I mean, you know, it's instances like that, which I think are relatively rare, but do translate down to the common masses of people in terms of some of the behavior that we're seeing at the grocery store. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, I've seen rolls of toilet paper when this started a couple of weeks ago up for sale on the net for $500. And I literally just had a joke with my partner, who's also called David, about people buying up the toilet paper, and next thing you know, they're going to try and sell it for a premium. And that's exactly what happened. And I thought, what are you doing? Like, here in this country, in Australia, they manufacture toilet paper in two or three locations, and it's always being churned out. So buying it and trying to sell it, for $500, buying a $5 pack of toilet paper and doing that is just stupidity.
Mm.
It's not a rare commodity.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you want to profit? Like, really, we know that there are businesses that do profit off of other people's hardships. We do know that. That's a fact. But don't. It's immoral. Stop it. Don't do it. It doesn't help anybody, and it's not going to get you dib points, or you might have money in the account today, but down the line, karma's going to flick you in the bum. That's what happens, especially in this time with the world, with the earth, with goddess Gaia Sophia. She wants the humans to grow up. She will spank you over her knee. So I really think that people need to wake up, and I totally agree with you, David. We need to love each other, and I think that we're seeing more of that. I think more and more people are turning around because this is what the virus is teaching us, and I'd like to explore that with you.
Yes, please
what
do.
What is this teaching us? What do you think it's teaching us?
Well, I think for one thing, it's seeking to unite us through a common cause. I believe that we have an opportunity now that we are largely isolating in our own homes to become more intimate with people that we may have taken for granted in our lives, namely our family. At least that's the case for some. Many people are out of work, and that gives them an opportunity to connect in so many different ways where they may have been too busy to do that in the past or taken it for granted that somebody would always be there. Because the reality of the situation is that some of us won't be here down the line. And so I think that it's important that we take the opportunity to cherish every moment and to cherish all the people in our lives. And I also think that we're going to see more compassion coming out of this. This is a global situation, and so it's an opportunity for us all to come together at a global level and perhaps to find more peace within the world, or certainly more peace within ourselves if we can let go of the fear. And that's one of the things that we're talking about tonight, is how to overcome the fear, not just in this health crisis, but in general, because fear can destroy us. It can rule our lives. And I think that we all need to develop tools in order to let go of that. I've heard there are two states. This is something coming from one of my spiritual masters, Anthony DeMello, who was a Jesuit priest in India. And he talked about how there's only fear and love, and everything that is not love or positive comes out of fear. What do you think about that?
Yes, I agree. The two major lessons in life are walking towards love or walking away. And when you're walking away from love, you're walking away from a sense of security as well. And that can bring you into the emotional response of fear. So there's two different types of fear. There's your biochemical fear, which is the fight or flight. And that's rightly so. You know, if there's a truck coming down the street and they're jackknifed and you're on the footpath and it's heading for you, you're going to have a fear response as biochemical and good. Get out of there.
Right.
Because you don't want to get the emotional response to fear is something that can be highly personalized. And I think that's where we're focusing on. So just wanted to clarify the two aspects of fear for anybody who's far more educated than me is listening and thinks that I'm saying the wrong thing. So we're talking about the emotional response to fear. And that can, as you said, ruin people's lives and run people's lives. And you can get to a place where you're in a black hole and there doesn't seem to be a way out because of the momentum that you've built up through choices that have been driven by fear. And the only thing you can do is surrender. And when you surrender, your inner being can start helping you dig your way out. When it comes to this COVID-19 virus, actually, it's quite easily controlled. If from the scientists that I have been listening to, and if we follow the measures of self-isolating and of cleaning surfaces, in particular metals, and washing our hands after we've come home, taking our clothes off and showering, we keep ourselves clear of it. We also need to remember to drink warm drinks a lot. The virus remains inert in hot situations, and it will not activate, but in cold situations it will, which is, I think, maybe in my reasoning, why it will remain active on metal. It's a virus is an interesting thing. Would you like me to just tell you a little bit about what a virus is?
Sure.
So it's not a plant or an animal or a bacteria. And it's not actually considered alive. It's a really interesting. Apparently, there's a lot of controversy in the scientific community about whether or not it's even considered a living thing. A nucleic acid, either DNA or RNA, and a protein. And the nucleic acid encodes the genetic information that is unique for each virus. And the infective extracellular outside of the cell part of the virus is called a viron, and it contains at least one unique protein which is synthesized by specific genes in the nucleic acid of that virus. So in virtually all viruses, and at least one of these proteins forms a shell called a capsid around the nucleic acid. And certain viruses also have other proteins which are internal to the capsid. And some of these proteins act as enzymes. And often during the synthesis of viral nucleic acids, what they will do is the disease-causing organisms that contain only nucleic acid have no structural proteins. So where I'm getting at with this is it's like a little, I suppose, nature's little bomb. Really, it's an inert thing. It has some of the makings of life, but not enough to be alive. And when it is ingested into the body via air, through sneezes, coughs, through you touching a surface and then touching your face, eating something, whatever, it then latches on to to the other life structures that you have in your body, and then it becomes an organism. So it's only a part organism until it has a host, and then it becomes an organism. My section of what a virus is, I'm sure there's somebody way more educated than me who would have a better description of what a virus does, but it has its own genetic coding that then helps it to replicate itself. And that is where the body then has to fight it. With your regular cold and flu, the wild cold and flu that we've had for thousands of years, the human body has built up immunity to that to a certain degree. People still pass away because of head colds and flus, but they tend to have something else going on with them that causes them to succumb and to get a pneumonia. So we've got thousands of years of white blood cells immunity that protects us from the regular cold and flu. Most people get over a cold or a flu and they move on. You might have memories of that was the worst cold or flu that I ever had. You know, I can certainly pick some out of my lifetime. But this virus, 3 days in your throat, and then it goes to your lungs and it causes a thickness of mucus in the bronchioles, which then pretty much suffocates the person who has it. And the way that it gets itself replicated is by a cough or a sneeze from an infected person. The reason why we have to self-isolate is because you can be passing that on up to 2 weeks without having any symptoms. And most people will get over it. Most people will not succumb to it. It is people who are already suffering from some kind of ailment that are the ones, as far as I understand, and as I said, there may be someone far more educated than me who can give a better response to this, but as far as I understand, it is people who are suffering from some other weakness in their immunity that are succumb to the point of death. So we need to protect our brothers and sisters, but we don't need to go around being in fear of it, because we can do simple measures that will keep us and our families safe.
Thank you, Kat. That was very informative. I appreciate that. Before we go to the phone lines, I'd like to ask you how you personally are coping with your concerns connected to the virus.
Well, the first thing I'm doing is not buying into fear-mongering. I'm getting informed. I got really angry in the beginning when all of this started because of all the misinformation and the shopping that people were doing, the hoarding shopping. And the information that I had at that time was it was just a flu and people were going to succumb to a flu, and it seemed very suspicious. That was the other thing that I was seeing, that it was very suspicious how it came out, that it came out at Chinese New Year when all those people were on the move, the shite load of people in China, and they're all moving to go home to their elderly to celebrate New Year. And it was, you know, why did it come out then? And so I became very suspicious. And I did blast something on Facebook. I've taken it down because I didn't want to be angry and I didn't want to perpetuate being angry. So just want to say that it was stupid of me. I got angry. But what I have done is I've gone to trusted sources. Greg Braden has an excellent video. It's about 40 minutes. It's on YouTube. Watch it. I'll post it onto my page at the end of the show. He's given some very, very informative information about the situation, about what a virus is, about natural remedies that work that have clinical evidence backing them, such as elderberry, some mushrooms, vitamin C that you can take to protect your immunity and to boost yourself up. Elderberry is a North American berry, as far as I understand, and the clinical studies show that it attaches to the bronchioles and it boosts the immunity around the lungs and helps protect the lungs. And in a normal cold or flu, it breaks down the duration of that by 3 days. So it's a really excellent to get. I bought some. I'm going to post it off to my parents today and ask them to take it. So we're all at home. We're drinking a lot of fluids, keeping our spirits up. We're laughing, we're joking around. Laughter's really important, keeps immunity up. And we're staying educated, but we are not buying into the fear-mongering. And we're just keeping abreast of what the government's telling us to do. And we're just remaining in love for each other. That's the main thing. We pop out, go and get our groceries. We come home. We're still able to put our kids into school. And we're just trying to act like things are normal. How about you, David?
Well, I'm trying to do some of the same things, actually. And I talked a little bit earlier about how I'm staying connected to people. It's a great way for me to let go of any concerns that might come up for me. I've had very few concerns. Initially, I was aghast at the fear that I perceived other people having, and some of it was well-deserved. There were some people that seemed to have a great deal of intuition about how serious this situation was, and I was poo-pooing that, and I've come to realize now that, you know, social isolation is indeed a good thing. But I loved what you were saying about love. I did talk about some of the positives that I see that could come out of this crisis situation. And before we go to the phone lines, I just wanted to ask you what hidden blessings you might see in the situation.
I think the biggest hidden blessing is that even though we can't hug each other, we're realizing that we're not one nation or one race against each other. We're humans and we're all together. We're all in on this. There is no country in the world that isn't affected by this. This is us together. We are brothers and sisters together, working together and loving each other. And I know there's some silliness that's going on that we've discussed earlier, but the major blessing is that people are changing their perceptions of what is wealth. Wealth is health. It's more important to be healthy and happy than it is to be the person with the biggest house or car and belongings and all the trappings of what is perceived to be success. Success is not this materialistic thing. Success really is having the character to overcome difficult situations. Being able to smile and laugh every day, having somebody turn around and tell you, I love you, turning around to yourself and saying, I love you. And I think that people are starting to realize, you know, they're changing their ideas of what is important. And that, I think, is the biggest blessing of all. It really, really is. And also, you know, what we're appreciating the little things. Now everybody gets to have a rest, whether they want to or not. And that is a big opportunity for many people who are sitting there with three jobs or a massive amount of stress on their shoulders because of their work. They can go home and they can get a rest. And then, of course, if there's you know, people who love each other at home, they're going to get into the nookie and your baby's born and...
Merry Christmas!
You too, in 9 months. So, you know, that's all part of it. Like, go home and get into the love and love each other, you know, really beautiful. I think there's going to be a lot of people write that book they couldn't write. Invent that thing they've always wanted to invent. Get into the shape. Get into their sewing kit. Get into their paint. And get into connection, because creativity is where the connection is with your inner being and with the great spirit.
Mm.
Yeah, that's what I reckon.
Thank you, and thank you for the laugh. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's see what Elle has to say, and then I'm going to come to Regina, who is also going to share a special message with us. Elle, how are you dealing with your fears?
Well, I've been dealing with my fears by connecting with other people. I've had a lot of phone conversations with friends. I just connected today with a friend from long ago that I haven't connected with in a long time. Had a wonderful conversation with him. I think having this sense that we're in this together with other people, that we're not alone, is an important aspect of getting through this. And I've also been directing my mind to other activities, not letting it dwell on the coronavirus. I've been much calmer the last few days. I had a lot of fear early on. And it was good in some ways. It was good in that it put me in the position of making sure I was well-informed. And I felt like I knew most of what I could know about this virus and what I needed to do, and once I started doing that, I started feeling a lot more secure. And I feel like my fear has lessened a lot since I'm isolated at home. I'm not worried about having a lot of contact with other people, that I understand what I need to do if I do go out, and just having that community of friends. I've been doing deep breathing, some meditation at times when I've been feeling especially stressful. You know, focusing on my breath in and out is a, you know, letting the thoughts just float away and not letting my mind dwell on the coronavirus and the fear around it. And it, you know, it was funny. I think Kat mentioned choice earlier, and I've just been reading this mystery novel by this writer, Louise Penny, and she had a line in the book that really struck me. She's got her detective character saying it, but I thought it was so true. She said, we choose our thoughts, we choose our perceptions, we choose our actions, and so where we end up in life has an awful lot to do with what kind of choices we make about our perceptions, thoughts, actions, and whatnot. And it's kind of true with this coronavirus right now, too. I can choose to let my thoughts wander into this in an obsessive way, or I can choose to just pay attention to what information is vital that I really do need to know about and then step away from it, engage myself in other healthier activities, connect with friends. That's really what I've been doing. And there's been a lot of positive aspects to being isolated at home, because I've been doing some things I've wanted to do and wasn't doing because I was doing other activities. I think the best part of that is the connecting with people that I haven't connected with in a while. Oh, there was one more thing that I have found helpful, and that's helping other people. I volunteered to make some calls to other seniors to see how they're doing, how they're coping, people that might not have others that are calling them and checking in on them. And I've always found that an important aspect for my own well-being is reaching out to other people. There's helping other people is really also helping yourself in my That's it.
That's great, Al. Thank you. That's a really important point. We're here to not only serve ourselves, but to serve each other. And I liked what you were saying about choice. I've had a number of life coaches, including Kat, who've talked about how everything is a choice each step of the way. And we can choose for the better or we can choose for the worse. And so thank you for bringing up that choice of words. We'll come back at a later point in time, if there's time, and do a dialogue. I'm going to move on to Regina, and I hope you'll stay with us, Al.
Thank you.
Hi, Regina.
Hi,
how are you?
I'm very happy to be here with all of you, you know, because you're really deep talking on a deep level, and I'm learning from you all. Al, pleasure to meet you. And just to let you know, I've asked God to channel Shinki healing through my voice to all that are listening in, and that's the God source of healing energy that was given to me by Don Beckett and Dragon Pavelonic. And it's one step up from the Reiki healing. I am a Reiki healer at the Albany Damien Center. I've been doing that for 15 years, and I've been doing the Shin Ki from time to time. This is the first time I'm attempting to channel it here with people, because I think this is the time to be doing it. I think all people in the healing, energy healing work can try that. We're working on a triumvirate of healers for the Damien Center now, because they won't let us go in there because we could expose the people, you know, to the virus. So the three of us are going to do distance healing for the people. That's one way, as Al suggested, that we can be helping others. You know, once we can agree upon a time and a format, we're going to just set that up for everybody, because I know other people and, you know, have benefited from it. I benefited from it. So, you know, and when you speak about is the fear factor, you know, I studied the Course in Miracles and Gerald Jampowski, Love is Letting Go of Fear. You know, it's the letting go. And I had a wonderful teacher from the Albany Free School, an alternative school, that taught me to use fear as just as an energy, like any other energy. It can be a go or it can be a stopper. And so, hey, I'm feeling afraid, and I'm still going to do it. I'm not going to do, as Kat said, you know, the fright or flight or freeze. I'm going to move and get it accomplished and use it as a motivator to do positive things for myself. You know, I'm forgetting who wrote the article. I have it in my piles of paper somewhere. And, you know, it was a great article as using fear as a motivating energy, you know, not to act out of the fear, but to act despite the fear. You know. So like today, I was a little afraid. I had to go to Aldi's, the grocery store, and because I'm a senior citizen with an underlying condition, I have diabetes, but I put my little mask on and my little plastic gloves. And the first thing in the aisle, this little girl comes up to me and gives me a big hello. And I thought, you know, I gave her the biggest hello back. It made me so happy. And my thought was, we're turning back the clock. Now kids are free to say hello. We're slowing down. We're getting back at the right speed. We've been going too fast. This thing is going to slow us down. And we can notice each other as human beings. You know, just slow it down. And this afternoon, I was graced to be part of a Zoom meeting with the Inyati Sufi Order. We met with our teacher, Pirzia Inyakan. He's down in Richmond, Virginia. And we're going to be doing this every Sunday now from now on, is, you know, studying together, talking together, sharing together, encouraging each other. And we're going to be doing other things during the week also. We're going to be able to meet, say, on Monday and on Wednesday for different things, just to keep, help keep our spirits up during this elevation, is what we're, the ascension is, you know, I know we all know about this, or most of us know about this. We're in the ascension process, and, you know, on the way up, we have all the angel forces here to help us. And one of the things we read today was a quote or a several chapters from a book called The Gathas by Pirzia's grandfather, Hazra Inyak Khan, who brought the Sufi message to the West back in the early 1900s. And he had some beautiful teaching. And this teaching was on the training of the ego, constant battle with the ego. And I'm also a member of a 12-step program whose aim is deflation of ego at depth. Because, you know, I think this is the sickness of our age, is this unbridled ego. And so, David, would it be okay? Would you like me to read this?
I would. Please do.
Okay, I will read this, because I think there's so much in it I could probably read a million times. For a certain, okay, let me lick my lips here. I'm nervous, I'm scared, but I'm still going to do it.
You're doing great, Regina.
Okay, I love you, sweetheart. Let's go. Okay. For a person who walks in the path of God, the only struggle is a constant battle with the ego. It is the ego which forms the cover of the light of the soul, and the light hidden under the ego is the light hidden under a bushel. One sense of justice, one sense of logic, one sense of reason, one's intelligence, one's affection are all covered by the ego. If one judges anyone, it comes from the point of the view of one's own interest. If one reasons, one's selfish mind produces the results. In one's affection, one puts self first. One's intelligence is darkened by the self. It is the condition of the average person. In proportion as a person takes away the covering from the soul, so much juster, truer, more sincere, more loving does that person become. Selfishness develops the sense of self-interest, and very often a person may gain earthly prosperity because of it. But as all things in the world are subject to change, a person remains in the end empty-handed, while the unselfish person, who has perhaps been debarred from earthly good by the lack of self-interest, at least remains possessed of a sense of reason which is rich in the qualities of love, justice, and intelligence. The whole tragedy of life is in losing sight of one's natural self And the greatest gain in life is coming in touch with one's real self. The real self is covered by many covers of ego. Those which predominate above all are hunger and passion, beneath which are pride and vanity. One must learn to discriminate between what is natural and what is unnatural, and what is necessary and what is unnecessary, what brings happiness and what brings sorrow. No doubt, it is difficult for many to discriminate between right and wrong, but by standing face to face with one's ego and recognizing it as someone who is ready to make war against us, and by keeping one's strength of will as an unsheathed sword, one protects oneself from one's greatest enemy, which is one's own ego. And a time comes in life when one can say, my worst enemy has been within myself. That concludes that. In that last part, I was thinking very, very vividly of the movie The Peaceful Warrior. And that's available now on Amazon.com or someplace. You can get Dan Millman or read that Dan Millman's The Peaceful Warrior, you know, in that battle with your ego. That's the enemy. And you know, false appearances and, you know, keeping that front up. Oh, I'm this and I'm that. And, you know, I'm discovering more and more my true self. An old friend has called me up, and man, are we having some deep, deep discussions. It's bringing me great joy to be able to be that in touch with myself that I can speak so truthfully. It's very liberating, you know, to not care what people really think about you.
Right.
You know,
right.
To let it all hang out. It's so liberating.
Good for you. That's all I can say, Regina. And thank you for sharing that. And,
thank you for letting me.
You were a wonderful channel. I appreciated everything you had to say. We have about 12 minutes left, and Kat's going to wrap up the hour with a meditation. I'd like to take the opportunity just to open all the phone lines and have an opportunity to dialogue if there's anything that somebody wants to bring to the table that we can talk about in the next less than 10 minutes. We can do so, if that sounds okay to you, Kat.
I think that's a great idea.
So, are there any reflections, Al, you're live to, any reflections on the reading or any other thoughts that people have, that have occurred to people as we've talked individually?
Well, I liked what Regina was saying about fear, about channeling it in a positive direction towards action. I thought that was, I feel that's kind of what happened for me when I was, I probably used it both ways. I used it in a way that was not good, but I also used it in a way that was good. It kind of drove me to find out what I needed to know that was useful and helping me in the situation. So I liked a lot of what you had to say, Regina. Thank you.
Thank you, Al.
You know, I really appreciated the talk about the ego. Now, of course, as Kat has said, there's some aspects of the ego that are very important for our survival.
Yes.
But I too have studied the Course in Miracles, which was very interesting but very confusing. It's interesting that I found the teacher's manual to be a lot more clear than the actual text of the book, but it does talk, it largely talks about ego. In fact, it all seems to be connected to that. And it is that judging aspect of ego that is so damaging. And I think we're seeing some of that coming to the fore as we're dealing with this crisis. And the ego is largely fear-based. And so it seems to me that this is a perfect opportunity to come to terms with it within ourselves and to let go and allow that inner voice that is about love, as Kat was talking about, to come to the fore. So those are some of my thoughts connected to that.
Yeah, I agree. I think that we now that a lot of people are at home, it's time to put more love into yourself than ever before. So if you were rushing out the door in the past and had a piece of toast in your mouth and were stressing to get to work on time, now you can relax a little. You can sleep another half hour, get up, enjoy a good meal, and then go to your computer and sit down and start work in your pajamas. You haven't had to worry about getting showered and dressed up to go and deal with the stress of commuting. So a lot of stress has been taken away in that respect. And then the people who do have to go to work, you know, emergency services people, people who are working in grocery stores and such, their commute is easy now because there's nobody on the road. So we're taking stress away from them too. And I think that if we just put self-love at the front, then as Al said, when you're loving yourself, you're loving others. And when you're loving others, you're loving yourself. And we can be better human beings for this. And I think that's what this virus is teaching us. I think it's teaching us to be better human beings.
I like that. Love certainly is a circle, isn't it?
Yes.
Regina, do you have any reflections?
Oh, I was just going, all my life's a circle, sunrise and sundown. You know, it is a circle. And, you know, Pierre Zia did stress that we do need a certain modicum of self-interest, yes, to stay away, alive at this time. You know, you know, there's certain teachers out there I think we can all look. There was a beautiful Buddhist teacher giving a blessing and a teaching to the people of Italy yesterday, you know, and it was about taking care of yourself, you know, loving yourself. Oh, that's so hard to do. That was the hardest thing about the Course in Miracles, forgiving yourself, getting off the God spot and letting him forgive you, getting off your own back and be loving to yourself. That's a very hard thing to do, you know. Be gentle to yourself, you know. Be kind to yourself. And when you do that, it'll rub off on others, you know. Get off your own back. That's my message. Forgive yourself.
Well, you brought up a very important point, and taking care of yourself can be looked at two ways, but I think it's really a selfless act, because you can't be of help to anybody else if you're in a bad place yourself. I mean,
yeah.
There's that old analogy of if you're on the airplane and the oxygen goes off, that you have to reach for the oxygen mask for yourself first before you can help anybody else to put theirs on or whatever. So, you know, it's very apt. We love starts within, and it spreads out. And it's my personal belief, right or wrong, that unless we learn to love ourselves, we can't truly extend that love in an unconditional sense to other people. So those are my closing thoughts. Does anybody else have some closing thoughts? And then we'll go to meditation.
Just eat well. eat healthy, have multicolored vegetables, heavy on the greens, but lots of color in your vegetables and your fruits. Eat fruits in the morning so that the fructose boosts your energy during the day. Have a good amount of protein, plant-based, if you can, and drink lots of water. Drink warm drinks. If you're starting to get a sore throat, drink lots of warm drinks. And don't buy into fear. Keep focusing on love. Meditate. Take the time to exercise. Go for a walk in nature. Just remain self-isolated as far as, you know, I think you have to be a meter and a half away from another person. Avoid hugging. Do the namaste instead of hugging and shaking hands. And know that it won't last forever. This can't last forever. That we will get through the worst of it, and then life will go back to normal. Let's make the new normal wonderful. Let's make the new normal something better than what we had before. Let's not go into a dystopia. And I think we can all do that if we focus on love.
I think that's a marvelous place to end. Excuse me. Kat has agreed to grace us with a meditation, so I'm going to mute everybody's microphone except for hers.
Yeah, so take yourself into a comfortable position, sitting or laying down, and do eyes and breathe in. And when you breathe in, I'd like you to visualize sunlight. So breathe in sunlight, breathe it all the way through your lungs, and breathe out moonlight. So you're visualizing breathing in sunlight and breathing out moonlight. Breathe in sunlight and breathe out moonlight. And just go into that rhythm of breath where you're focusing on breathing in the light and out the light. And let yourself get heavier and heavier. Your feet are heavy. Your legs, they're heavy. The bottom, your back and the belly are heavy. Your chest, arms, and hands. Your face and your head, everything's very heavy. In a comfortable, dreamy way. I'm going to bring your eye, your mind's eye, to your heart. And underneath your heart and your cage is your spleen. It churns out a lot of white blood cells. And let's focus on how much we love our spleen. Don't think about our spleen very often. Just put a lot of love into your spleen. I love my spleen. I love my spleen. Now, bring your mind back into your heart where you can rest it. And think about your bones. If you need to, visualize a skeleton. Inside your bones is all the bone marrow. Are very important for your immune system, that bone marrow. Let's put love into the bone marrow. Love my bones, and I love my bone marrow. I love, I love, I love my bone marrow. My bone marrow and my spleen. I love, I love, I love my spleen and my bone marrow. And let's focus back resting in my heart, and in my heart again. Bring your mind's eye down into your small and large intestine. Where your gut flora is. And your gut flora really works well with your immune system. There's a lot that got flawed. There's good bacteria. Let's think about all the good bacteria that's in your body. And give it love. Thank you, good bacteria. Love you so much. You keep me healthy. My little friend. Love, 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 my good bacteria. And your mind goes back to your heart. And now it's in your lungs. In your lungs, you don't have anything but air, and air is wonderful. Your lungs are like foam full of air. And let's put lots of love into your lungs. And know that when the immune response comes into your lungs, it's a great thing. And it protects your body. We're breathing in the light. We're breathing out the light into our lungs. We're loving up our lungs. Oh, I love my lungs. I love your lungs. Beautiful lungs. And now, back to your heart. And let's say a minute again. And think about how incredibly amazing your body is. What an amazing, amazing organism the human body is. And how it self-heals. How it is geared to self-heal. How it is geared for love. And how thinking about happy thoughts makes your body healthy. And so I want you to focus on your brain, and in particular, focus on the parts of your brain that you think are the parts that hold your beliefs. It can be anywhere in your brain. Just have an idea. And those beliefs, let's focus on the beliefs that believe that you are good, because they are there. And let's make those beliefs really big. Let's imagine that those beliefs are the most important, biggest, loudest beliefs that are in your brain. That you are good enough. That you are worthy. That you are loved. That you are well-skilled. That you have something to offer. That you are appreciated, and that you are a wonderful person, and every day is a reason to smile. Let's make those beliefs the strongest beliefs. And send up the love from your heart into your brain, into those beliefs, and make them stand out big, bold, writing in your mind. I am good enough. I am worthy. I am loved. I walk the sacred path of love. I am all that I am. And keep those beliefs resounding. Keep them making that noise at you, that beautiful song of truth that you are good enough. And let it be a song. Let it be something you play over and over and over again, because that's what keeps you healthy, the self-love. And when you're ready, open your eyes and wrap your arms around yourself and anchor those beliefs in a hug for yourself. Hold yourself tight and hug yourself. Anchor those beliefs. Good enough. I am good enough. I am worthy. I am loved. I walk the sacred journey of life. I am all that I am. And just hold yourself until you're ready to let go. And go on with your evening, on your day, with the knowledge of the truth of who you are. So be it.
Beautiful. And that beeping means that my battery on my phone is going. But I'm glad that it held up for that beautiful meditation, Kat. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody. Join us again next week at the same day, same time. And we so appreciate the participation of Regina and Al tonight. Thank you both.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Good night.